imagination, attachment, and delusion, when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Purport. Arjuna submitted three different questions and the Lord answers them one after another. Maybe we should check the questions back. It's previous verse, verse 21. So Arjuna, translation is, Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? So he's asking for the symptoms, for the behavior, and how this person transcends. Three questions. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hunger for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he is actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he acts only for sense gratification, but when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One who does not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but as a spirit soul, the self is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the body becomes automatically free. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. The materially situated person is affected by so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body, but the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness and does not mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. He accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or gold. He takes everyone as his dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness, and he does not hate his so-called enemy. He is equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he does not attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated. Okay, so I'll read the verse again. Si Bhagavan Uvacha Prakasam Cha Pravritim Cha Mohameva Cha Pandava Nadvesti Sampravritani Nani Vritani Kangshati Udasina Vat Asino Gunair Yona Vichalyate Unavartanta iti evam yo vasti batista tinengate samaduka sukha swasta samalostas makanchanaha tulya priya priyo diras tulya nindat masamstuti manapa mana yo stulya stulyo mitrari paksayo sambaramba parityagi gunatita sahuchate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present or long for them, when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to be transcended the modes of nature. Let's go to page number one, read some prayers. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Saksurumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Istapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanesvari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa taru vyacha kripa sindhu vyahevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaisnavevyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Ita gadadara sivasadi bravakta vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we have nice verse where Lord Krishna is describing what are the symptoms of a person who has transcended the modes of nature, the material energy, the three gunas, which is the goal of yoga, to be able to control the mind, to be able to control the mind and to be situated in the self, which is characterized by a state of pure bliss, and of course, Prabhupada explains that when the sun appears in the morning, then we can see ourselves, and we can see the sun, and we can see everything else. So similarly, in spiritual consciousness, when Krishna appears, Krishna Prema, a stage of bhakti development, then we can actually, of course there are different levels of advancement, but in the highest stage then we can actually see Krishna, and then we can see ourselves, our own constitutional position, isn't it? Is it first time anybody here? First time for you? Oh, so please feel welcome. Speak English, yeah? Okay. Can I ask you which country you're from? Belgium, okay. So you know anything about Krishna? No, not much. Okay, so basically this book was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and what we're doing here basically is kirtan, although we do archana or different things, but we worship the deities, but mainly we chant Hare Krishna mantra. So that means that we try to awaken spiritual consciousness and transcend matter. And this verse is explaining Lord Krishna himself is explaining to Arjuna in India, just before a huge battle was about to happen, how a person who has transcended matter, material desires, material attachments, so how does his, Arjuna is asking, how does he behave? What are his symptoms, you know? And how does he transcend those modes? So, Arjuna is Lord Krishna is explaining, you know. So I was saying that there are different levels when we chant this mantra. There are different levels we go through, and it's according to our surrender to Krishna, to God. Self surrender means selfless giving yourself to Krishna. In mind, in words, and in body, then Krishna reveals, because he is pleased. He's not going to reveal to anyone that is not interested in him. So this person who is advanced spiritually is able to see the Lord, to relate with the Lord, and to feel the Lord Krishna during everyday life. It's not that it's in the future, maybe I will, you know, next life. He's actually perceiving by his practice, and is realizing, and because it's beyond matter, is actually transcending the cycle of birth and death, the cycle of birth, disease, old age, and death. It's like it's compared like a prison house. There are like four bars, and these four bars are birth and death, disease, and old age. That no anyone can transcend. No, even science can stop disease. You know, like maybe they stop some diseases in particular, but then new ones appear. They're always hospitals. It's not the hospitals that disappear. And people still keep dying and take birth. So we're trying to do that. We tend to elevate and be situated in the self beyond the body. Because the basic teaching is that we are not these bodies. We are not the body, so who we are, you know? So we are the spirit soul, and we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. So by chanting Krishna's names, by worshipping, we offer food, clothes, etc. Different activities that we do then. Actually, one is acting as the spirit soul, because just merely understanding, okay, I'm not this body, I'm the soul, is not enough, because you need to act as if you are not as a spirit soul. So then similarly, a person who is advanced spiritually is able to practically perceive the Lord, and there are three aspects of Krishna. The first aspect, topmost aspect is Krishna as a person. It's called Bhagavan, and is a person who is said to be immensely, unlimitedly powerful, beautiful, rich. All the universe's planets are his property, and he is also strong. And he is very famous and knowledgeable, renounced. He does not need anything, all those opulences. He's aloof. So his Bhagavan is the supreme aspect, is the supreme person, you know? Like in every aspect of life, if you think about deeply, actually there is a person behind. You know, like we don't see, maybe like you see like an example, you see the heating system, or a fridge, or anything, and you don't see any person there, or you see a car, or you see a business, or any other thing that you may use, you know, like you see a microphone, and you don't see a person actually, because you don't see, we just see the energy, but actually somebody made it. There is this business who produced that. So meditating upon that, we can see that behind everything there are personalities, you know. So in the same way, there is actually intelligent design argument that is actually behind the laws of the universe. There are intelligence, you know, an intelligence which is actually far greater than our intelligence. So these are theological arguments that some philosophers during the last in history they propound different arguments about the existence or non-existence of God. So that's the supreme aspect, is called Bhagavan, Krishna. But then Krishna in the material universe expands himself in the heart of everyone, because he never leaves us alone. He always wants to stay with us. So when we awaken again, you know, it's explained that the purpose of the universe is that we actually regain spiritual consciousness, so that we go back to him. Prabhupada once started a lecture saying that there is another sky. This is not the only thing that there is, you know. So that's why it's important to have this information, this knowledge, because then, based on that, you can understand things that nobody else is telling us, you know, newspapers or TV or radio or internet. It's not talking about spiritual knowledge, which is so important. Why is it important? Because this knowledge alone can bring us to our real happiness, you know. So the whole illusion is that we can find happiness through many other things that society is trying to give us and promising happiness, but it's not real happiness of the soul. It's just temporary enjoyment. So that temporary enjoyment is actually not fulfilling for the soul, you know. It's not everlasting and profound happiness, you know. So that's why these books we try to distribute, and we try to make websites, you know, and like that, so people can get the benefit. So this second aspect is in everyone's heart, so that we can surrender to the Lord in the heart, you know. He's always there, and it's called Paramatma, or Supreme Soul. Param, Atma. Atma means soul. And then there is this called Brahman, that I don't know if you, like in India there are many scriptures, well, everywhere, but coming from India, and called Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras. These scriptures are mainly dealing with Brahman. Of course, there are different readings. You can also see Krishna there, but specifically, they explain about Brahman, and the Supreme, the Absolute, you know, God. Like in many religions, they just say God, you know, God. But they don't explain who is God, where does God live, or any further details about his existence, his friends, his family, nothing. We just have like the supreme aspect of God is there, and he's very powerful, and he's omnipresent, and you can take shelter of him, and this and that, but not much information about Bhagavan, you know. You may have like knowledge about Brahman or Paramatma, but more than that, it's not very common. So that's the idea. There are three aspects. So a person who is actually trying to transcend matter, you know, is actually described here how is he seeing life, you know. So he's seeing everything that happens to him in relation to Krishna, because he's not seeing as a center, you know. He's seeing that Krishna is the center, you know. That we don't have to change anything. Like when we come to Krishna consciousness, to when we start practicing, you know, the process of devotional service, it's not that we have to, you know, to change radically our life. Basically, we do exactly the same thing, with the difference that we put Krishna in the center. You know, and it's like if you have many zeros, many zeros in the bank account, but you don't have one or two, but one in front, then you don't have anything. You just have a line of zeros. So similarly, if you don't have Krishna in front or in the center of your life, then it's actually not the same. You know, it's actually unworthy, you know, valueless, you know. So, because Krishna is the source of all life, you know, and is the source of all happiness. So that's why we try to put Krishna in the center, you know. So in this way, unhappiness goes away, because unhappiness comes from being the controller and being the enjoyer. I work for me. I do everything that I do thinking about me, you know, me and mine. I am God, kind of, so-called, of course. But the concept is that I am the center, you know, of everything. I try to control, you know, others. I try to control energies. I try to be the master. So the idea is that we are not the master, and that Krishna is the master of everything. So this person, as described here, is able to see that actually, oh wow, the energies of Krishna, just see how things are working, you know. Describe that there's these three modes. This chapter is called the three modes, the three gunas. So these gunas, I don't know if you know, it's called tamas, means ignorance. Like let's say a person who is, we all of us are fluctuating through these three modes. It's not just someone there, but we are very much going through that, all of us. So these three modes, ignorance is foolishness, you know, that we don't understand things, and laziness, you know, and madness. And then we have the middle guna, which is passion. Passion is called Rajaguna, and then this Rajaguna is very active. We want to do many things, you know. And then we have the Sattvaguna, the mode of goodness, which is characterized by knowledge and happiness. So then we just try to understand how this person. Welcome, everyone. How does this person behave? How does the process work so that we can actually transcend those modes? And how the vision of this person is? How does this person perceive the world? So maybe we can go through a little bit more. Is there anyone else first time here? First time for you, Tua? Okay, you're from Indian background. You're from India, born in India, okay. So you more or less kind of have an idea, yeah? So, okay, so welcome, and we're just reading from the 14th chapter, verse 22 of the Bhagavad Gita. And the chapter is entitled The Three Modes of Nature, or Three Gunas. Means that there are different modes, different states of consciousness, that each one of us will go through during every day or during life, you know. Normally it's every day we go through the three gunas. Some days are more in the mode of goodness, or some places are more like, for example, cities. City life is very much in passion and ignorance, and then we have like natural, God-made, places where actually you're actually in the mode of, it's very quiet, and you can see nature is mode of goodness normally, you know. So these modes are affecting us, you know. We perceive that, and then we actually get carried away by also our mind will fluctuate in sometimes in goodness, passion or ignorance. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching how to transcend these states of consciousness. Goodness is, as I was saying, just quickly repeating, is a mode of goodness, is knowledge and happiness, you know, person who is in this predominantly situated in goodness. And then passion means a lot of activity, a lot, which is explained that leads to misery at the end, you know. And then you have ignorance, is the lower mode, tamaguna, which is foolishness, madness, and foolishness, madness, and laziness. So we go through that. So the idea is that by focusing on Krishna, Krishna is the person who is actually explained, is the only is the only person who it is actually is able to reciprocate with us in a loving relationship in a way that nobody else can do. You know? Because why? To start with, because he is eternal, and we also eternal. So that relationship is not limited by the body limitations of birth and death. He is always there, you know, for us. So he offers love. So that's the idea. Then. Because sometimes we experience that people fail, or we fail, we are not able to reciprocate to others in a way that person deserves, or, you know, or somebody is not able to reciprocate with us. But Krishna is called the reservoir of all rasas. Rasa is a spiritual Sanskrit name that indicates mellow, or the nectar, we call nectar, we say nectar, of the relationship. You know, relationships, sometimes we like a relationship or we don't like. So this liking is called rasa. And this last rasa can be material rasa, between conditioned souls which are under the influence of matter, or can be spiritual rasa with Krishna. So these rasas mainly are five, which you can say four, because the last one is called neutrality, which is a state of meditation. It's not much activity. But then you have rasa, or spiritual relationship in what is called servitorship, that you serve, you're the servant, and Krishna is the master. And then you have friendship, which includes servitorship. But there is a sense of well-wishing to your friend, you know. And then there is an equal level, because servitorship means that somebody is higher than other. You know, the servant is serving the master, but in there is equality in the rasa of friendship. And then we have the rasa of which is superior to friendship and includes both friendship and servitorship, which is parental affection. There is protection for the child also. There is friendship, there is service to the child, but it is also protective. And then we have this, now we have to finish because it's just coming. We have bhajans now, but just to finish this little bit, the explanation that then there is the conjugal love. The rasa between lovers is full giving yourself to the other. So Krishna is also available in all those rasas. So today's verse is describing how this person is actually, there are different characteristics that are described here. Like, for example, he's situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities. So this is one of the nice things characteristics that we were talking about. It is not just enough to have the knowledge, you know. To have knowledge is very nice, but what is the use of your knowledge if you don't apply, you know? Like if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you have this problem, you have this sickness now, and this sickness is called whatever name, label you have. Okay, so now you have the knowledge, but what is the solution for that, you know? So then if you really want to improve, you have to take the medicine and do what the doctor prescribes you to do. Otherwise, it's useless. You know? So in the same way, we try to apply this is an action book. It's called Bhagavad Gita, and it's describing what we have to do in order to improve spiritually and materially also, because material wealth comes from spiritual wealth. So that's the idea. So this person is seeing that actually Krishna is in charge. It's not that I am in control, I'm the enjoyer, was just talking about this. And then Krishna is just not in the picture. God is not in the picture. But on the contrary, he's able to see that actually everything that is happening to me in everyday life. So actually there are teachings there, and there is the hand of Krishna, and she is the protection of the Lord, and it tries to please the Lord. Tries to please the Lord. That is a characteristic feature of bhakti. How we're trying to do bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the process that we're doing and includes other types of yoga. Yoga meaning connection with Krishna. So that's the idea, that this person is trying to please the Lord. And because he's trying to please Krishna, automatically he's pleased. This is the mechanics. By pleasing the Lord, the origin of everything, we become pleased. So in the same way that we water the root of a tree, Krishna is like the root of existence. So by watering this root, automatically the whole tree is nourished. But by watering one leaf or different separate parts of the tree, we're not going to get really nourishment. But just putting the water there in this single point of in the root, that is the secret to nourish the whole tree. So similarly, in the same way, by giving our energy to Krishna, which is the root of all existence, automatically not only us but everyone else gets nourished. So I think it's time to stop. Is there any question so far? Okay, so thank you for your kind attention. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.